It's Friday, December 9th. This is show number 123. Welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. Strap in, everybody. Here it comes.
Podcasting to the world from the islands where the tech winds blow. It's Geek News Central with Todd Cochran. Geek News Central with the latest news from the podcasting universe and the world of tech. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Now, from Honolulu, Hawaii, Geek News Central with Todd Cochran. Sponsored by GoDaddy.com.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm your host. And for all of our long-term subscribers, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family, part of the Ohana. And of course, as we get into the holidays, everyone wants to think about family, of course, right? And you're all part of this family. So if you're joining us for the very, very first time, thank you so much for checking out the show. Make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there, inclusive, and of course, all of the archived data via the podcast link. Okay, hey, a little different kind of intro, huh? I'm sure some of you are like, oh, that's new. Well, we're going to want some feedback on it, so let us know what you think. We'll talk about who created that here in a few minutes, but I do have a few things that I want to go over, just talk about what's happened this week. Obviously, some of you got the show late from the last release, and boy, oh boy, moving servers is not fun, and especially very unexpected moving of servers. But I think it's all leveled out now. We've got all our problems solved. We had some buying DNS issues that we were dealing with. Got that all squared away. And I think, knocking on wood, the server's been running now 36, almost 48 hours without any issues. And I know some of you had sent me some email. Wow, I was wondering what was going on the website because you didn't update since like December 3rd. And all of a sudden, like December 7th, I started seeing like 4 days worth of information there. And what we were doing is we had the old site semi up. All the links were not necessarily working, but at least it gave the appearance that we were online. But yeah, what a rough week, weekend especially. We talked about that last show, but knock on wood, that's all behind us and we won't have to deal with it anymore. Hey, I am kind of on the hunt right now. I had this epiphany on, I guess it was Tuesday night. It was actually not Tuesday. It was probably Wednesday, or maybe it was Tuesday. It doesn't matter. Tuesday night, probably. I was sitting here thinking, man, I'd like to go to CES in Las Vegas. I said, that would be awfully cool to go there and podcast the Consumer Electronics Show. But I thought, how am I going to be able to do that, you know, and still keep in good graces with the wife, go for 3 or 4 days, going to have a sponsor of some sort. So I thought what I would try to do, and we're working it very, very aggressively, is to try to find a sponsor to send 6 people from techpodcast.com, some of our affiliates over there, to Vegas for the event. We're going to team. What our plan is to team up in teams of two. So, you know, there's 2 of us at all times together. We're going to go around and we can spread out and hopefully cover everything and just podcast and blog like madmen and maybe women. And we really, really want to do this, but we need a sponsor. We really, really do. And this is not going to be it's not going to be inexpensive. So I need someone, if someone's out there that is wanting to sponsor some podcasters to go to CES, send me an email to tech@techpodcast.com. If you've listened to the show for a while, you can send it to geeknews@gmail. Also, geeknews@gmail.com. That'll get to me too. But this will be a substantial sponsorship deal for the time. We're going to get some company hooked up big time with that event if we do it. So let us, you know, if you're interested, drop me an email immediately. I do have other people working this, approaching some major vendors, but I hope it goes through. If it does, I think it'd be really, really awesome to podcast CES and do it from a techie's perspective, okay? So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. Speaking of tech podcasts, on this coming Saturday, January 10th, starting at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, we're having our next live roundtable, and this is going to be our Christmas special. We're going to be talking about all kinds of cool gadgets. And one of the items that I'll probably be talking about, along with everyone else, is going to be, we got gadget tricks and tips, not tricks, but gadget tips for the ladies and also for the guys. And one of the items that arrived today was a Neuros MPEG-4 video recorder. Now, when you guys, I want to write something up on the blog about this thing. I've been playing with this thing tonight. Oh my goodness. Totally awesome product. So we'll talk about that probably on Saturday and then release the blog entry at the same time, along with some other cool stuff. But obviously it's going to be online with the GoToMeeting. We're going to, you don't have to have a license to attend. Check the techpodcast.com website out for the link, and you can join us for the live event.
By now, you've probably heard that the Tech Podcast Network uses GoToMeeting to conduct online business meetings and training. But did you know that GoToMeeting is the easiest way for any organization to conduct online business meetings? I asked Adrian Bacon of Apple Newslog, Linux Newslog, and Microsoft Newslog what he liked best about GoToMeeting.
I like the way you can record the entire presentation, audio, and video.
Sound too good to be true? Try GoToMeeting free for yourself for 30 days. You don't need a credit card. Just visit gotomeeting.com/techroundtable or click on the GoToMeeting link on your host's website.
On Wednesday, I woke up about 5 a.m. my time, got up, got a shower, got some caffeine in me, and essentially had to get really woke up to be dialed in for my interview on the BBC. The BBC interview had been scheduled originally for Tuesday, moved to Wednesday, and at 7:40, I got on the program called Drive with the great host Nikki over there at the BBC, and had about 15-minute interview. It was a great conversation with her. I've got that recorded, and I'm going to play that tonight at the end of the show. All right, so you guys will be able to check out my interview with her. So I'm going to try to rush through the content tonight so that you guys can listen to that. I do have some promos at the end, and let's talk about the new intro a little bit. That was put together by a great voice personality over at podcastvoiceguys.com, over at podcastvoiceguys.com. So if any of your podcasters out there are looking for some unique intros, it's two gentlemen that do intros, and one of those is he sent me some stuff for Tech Podcast, sent me some stuff for Podcaster News, two different voices. So we're going to be playing around with it, but let me know what you think about the intro. Send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, and have a link up to their website at podcastvoiceguys.com. All right, hey, on December 7th here in Honolulu or in Hawaii, there was the confirmation of, or the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. So being that I live on Ford Island, essentially my home is I can walk to where the Pearl Harbor or where the Arizona Memorial's, I can see the Arizona Memorial within like 200 feet from the embankment. I can get there in about maybe 10 minutes of walking. Like I've told you before, the Utah, which is very, very close to my home, is very, very close. And they typically have a big ceremony over at the Arizona and a smaller one at the Utah. They lay some wreaths and stuff. But they have a bridge that connects the main island of Oahu to Ford Island, and it's about a mile and a half, 2 miles long. And when this bridge, they have to be able to open it up from time to time to allow ships to pass through. And we had never seen the bridge open. You know, we've lived here a couple of years, but we've always missed it when the bridge was opening up. So we made it, we said, get up early. They're going to start opening this thing up. So we got up and we are actually able to watch them open the bridge for the first time. Totally cool. We'd never seen it before. And what they did is they had a Navy warship do a pass and review, pass the Arizona Memorial, fly over by jets. Pretty big events every year to commemorate the anniversary of the attack and, of course, the start of World War II for the United States. And I think it 64 years, I think, was the anniversary this year. Don't quote me on that, but it was a pretty big event. It's always well followed. But anyway, that was the excitement for here on Ford Island this week. They're putting in a very close to where I live. They started construction on a museum that's going to be available in a couple of years. It's going to be kind of a round table for those of you ever coming come out to Hawaii. You've got now you've got the Arizona, you've got the Missouri. If you remember right, we gave a flag away that was flown on the 4th of July from the Missouri on our, I think, our 50th show winner. And then, so what they're going to do is they're going to build a museum that's for the air side. It's going to, so we'll have the Arizona where the war started, or actually here in Pearl Harbor where the war started. USS Missouri, where the surrender was signed by the Japanese at the end of the war. And then we have the, we'll have this air museum with all these airplanes and stuff. So it's going to be pretty cool here in the next couple of years. There's going to be some more attractions for people to see in Hawaii. And it's kind of real fun to see that going down essentially right in my backyard. But, anyway, I think that's enough on that. Let's talk a little bit. I've got a couple of items here that I wanted to talk about before we get into the content. And one of them, of course, is let's save you some money, okay? GoDaddy hosting plans are now more powerful than ever. Best of all, plans start at just $3.95 a month. And no matter what plan you choose, your site receives 24/7 maintenance and protection in the GoDaddy.com world-class data center. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And thanks, GoDaddy, for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. It's great partnership with them, and continue to look forward to having them on as a sponsor for the significant future. Okay, let's see here. Let me look at what I've got. I got some messages on the couple of you had not heard the Pod Safe Music for Christmas or Pod Safe for Peace. A few of you hadn't heard that. Got some feedback on that. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. A few of you did send me email that are thanking me for linking you in the show notes, talking about how your traffic's went up. And it just goes to show that those of you that do listen and to the show and go and check the show notes afterwards, you're clicking through to the sites, and it's glad to see that people are seeing that traffic come in. So, hey, we're reaching a significant number of people now with the show, and I'm glad that we're able to point people in the right direction, especially, this could be positive or negative, depending on what I have to say. But regardless, thank you guys. Thank all of you for supporting the show by, essentially visiting all those sites that that I discuss on the show twice a week. Okay, what do I have? For some reason, my rhythm, I feel like my rhythm is off a little bit tonight. But, all right. Hey, here's a thing that Google launched today. It's called Google Transit. And how many of you have ever, I personally have went to like New York or some of the big cities where they have subways and metros. How many of you have really just almost dreaded because you never really knew what to do to get on the bus, the system? I felt kind of lost initially using the mass transit. I know that even in Washington, D.C., even as easy it was kind of intimidating at the beginning. But Google Transit Trip Planner is going to be creating basically you can plan your trips with participating public transport agencies. So I think right now it's limited to a few cities, Portland, Seattle. So obviously more will come online over time. But you can say, okay, I'm starting here and I'm going there. And it'll essentially work it so you can use public transportation. Very, very, very cool. Really, really is. And I can see this being huge, like for Tokyo and New York and all the big cities that have mass transit, Los Angeles, even if know, even if you don't have subways and stuff, it's still cool for the bus routes, the whole nine yards. So two thumbs up for what Google's trying to do here with Google Transit. So we'll keep an eye on that and how that grows. You know, all this cool stuff they're coming out with, map stuff. Of course, there's been some offerings today that have been launched by Microsoft. We'll talk about that a little bit too. Hey, got a few comments from people, and it actually was not in reference to an article I found, but the article that I found kind of addressed some of the questions some of you had. Some of you had said, hey, okay, we heard you talking about the Wikipedia thing and how someone was tracked by an IP. You know, what's to stop someone from tracking me, you know, via a web posting I do, or anonymous a comment, or what, you know, how can I keep myself protected? Because I'm afraid to say something now on some sites because people are going to just figure out what my IP was and trace route back to me. If you are posting from a computer at your home where you are on a broadband connection like a Time Warner, Comcast, you are essentially shielded. The person may be able to tell what region the poster came from, but they may not, they usually cannot tell which machine specifically. Well, they can tell which IP it was, but they can no way get any more detailed information than that unless they resort to some extreme tactics like hacking your computer or something like that. But as long as you got firewalls and all that stuff up, you should not have an issue. But I do think that for those of you that are coming in on dial-up in remote areas, and let's say you're well-known, if you are well-known for a specific area of the world, and you make a comment on a site and they trace route it back to you, they may have a general idea. Now, if you think about it, Hawaii, if I put some anonymous comment on some site and it was something that was related that I like to talk to about all the time, and then people looked at that IP and trace route it back to Hawaii, they'd say, well, you know, there's only so many bloggers in Hawaii. There, you know, obviously there's a lot of people here, but they could very easily narrow that down if they had a suspicion, especially if you kind of left some telltale markers of what you, how you, but I guess the thing I'm going to say about this is, and this is what the Ask Leo article says, is usually they can't track you and they're not going to know. Okay. Public available information about an IP address typically can only be traced as far as the internet service provider that owns it. So don't be worried, but you know, what you put on the net, you know, be careful out there. Okay, folks. I'd hate to see someone get sued for libel. Don't put on the net what you wouldn't say to someone in their face. I think that's probably a pretty good. As a matter of fact, Mina Trott probably could use some of that advice today after the little thing that happened in France this weekend. But we'll see. Okay, Sony, are you guys about sick and tired? I know I am absolutely sick and tired of being sick and tired of talking about Sony BMG. I found an article that said, hey, they released this new patch, blah, 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 blah. And anyways, there was an article about it, so it was good to go. And then within hours, it was another article out saying, MediaMax bug found, patch issued, patch suffers from same bug. Basically, they still haven't got it right. So another patch that they rolled out still has more vulnerabilities. And they're finding DVDs now that have this stuff on it. It's just, Anyway, I'm going to link up to this Freedom TAC2TACTinker.com article. And it has all the links to all the stuff. Some great comments. Alex Helderman has made some, they took some quotes off his site on here. So what can I say? They have just totally blown it. I'm not much of an investor, but I did find a very interesting article, and you may have seen it on the website already, that was in Wired. It says, let your PC do the investing. Now, I've got a mutual fund and an IRA, and I wish there was more money in it, but don't we all? They've got an article here where some of these professional day traders, and actually people that are probably more than day traders, are doing this as a full-time business, and this is how they earn their living. They are having software applications built that just sits and scours the net, looks for stuff, measures movement, looks at strength indexes, moving averages. You know, that's pretty cool stuff. And the commentary on here is that it is relatively profitable and that the tool has paid for itself. And they invested I guess, a significant amount of money in this. But with that, you know, I'm sure this is one of those type of deals where you got to know someone to get in the game. But he said in his Nelson Freeberg, who's the editor of the Algorithmic Trading Newsletter, he says that he estimates that millions of people worldwide use computerized systematic trading techniques today, where there's actually no cumbersome barriers to keep newcomers from entering the field. And but this is okay. This is okay. That sounds like me, a newcomer. If I want to just do a few trades here and there, a trader could probably get started, he said, with $10,000 to $15,000. Now, I don't know about you guys. Does that make someone an average trader? Okay. Well, anyway, I thought this was, you know, and they're just letting their computers run, and anytime it finds something, it just sounds a horn or something that lets them know that, hey, check this stock out. So, yeah, I know some of you are into that. Some of you aren't. I know I'm not. I just have someone else manage it. I don't have time to pay attention to it. On Jason Kotke's, I probably destroyed his name here. He has an article that talks about secret sites. I'm kind of curious, how many of you out there have a blog that you write to that you don't really tell anybody about, that you don't advertise, or that you have password access to? I know I have one for my children, and it's just basically kind of a diary I write. So I wonder, curious, how many of you have that? And I'll put the link up here. Great commentary on this. I thought it was kind of curious that you know, people are writing their blogs and stuff, but they also have a secret one. Okay, there's a site that I'm going to kind of tell you to stay away from right now. It was featured in the New York Times. It's called Glide Effortless. It's a service that's helped you upload and share just about any type of files. There was an article, a review done on it on TechCrunch that just absolutely slammed the service. And there was 24 follow-up comments about this service that's, you know, they're asking for your credit card, asking for all kinds of info when you sign up, giving you a limited amount of storage. And the site is, people are a little worried about it. And I'm not saying that the site is not legitimate. I'm just saying that there's a lot of concern by people that are actually using the service or have an experience with the service, signing up for it, providing a credit card, and then that username and information going into the abyss. Okay, so I'm going to put this link up to the TechCrunch article. You guys check it out. If any of you are Glide users, have already used this product, I'd like to hear your opinion. Really, I really would like to hear your opinion on this. Okay, Windows has basically the next version of Windows Live Local is out. It's powered by Virtual Earth. It's a beta. And they've changed their name, changed their look, and added lots of new features. So I did not get a chance to dig into this. For those of you that like playing with these map applications, you're going to want to check out local.live.com, the new iteration of this from Microsoft. And it just looks like Google and Microsoft are now going to be in the, you know, they're going to be trading barbs and who can do the most crazy stuff with maps. But I think where the, you know, we've talked about this before, where all the cool map stuff is being done is within the API realm, where people are building cool sites that tie into these things. All right, for those of you that have updated to Firefox version 1.5, I'm going to link an article that's on Channel 9, but do not go to the article that is linked on the webpage. It's here. I'm just going to read off this. It says, I saw the above link while reading the Sans feed. The HTML source there can crash Firefox and break it until the user manually deletes the history file. I might look into the, and of course, this guy's a big Internet Explorer, hoorah, hoorah fan. And there's some comments in here that kind of disturb me about what some people considered they would do. I'm sure Firefox will have something out for the, or Mozilla will have something out for this soon to patch this. But there is a, if your Firefox just quits working and you load it, it won't load. Hopefully this won't spread too fast before the Firefox or the Mozilla folks take care of it. But I just want to let you know it's out there. You can go to the Channel 9 article, read it. Don't go to packetstormsecurity.org. This is where this, you know, I read it and I was almost going to load Internet Explorer up to go look at the link. It makes it indicate on the Channel 9 forum that that link is a link that brings down the actual Firefox, okay? All right, there is some news out of the Yahoo camp today. Actually, two pieces of news. it looks like Yahoo wants to join the party and bring voice IP to their instant message client. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you have used IM recently? All I use is Trillian, which allows me to do MSN, Yahoo, ICQ, AOL, all on one application. But they're going to put voice IP with some pretty cheap rates. They're going to go after Skype. I'll be honest with you, as good as Skype has been working recently, I don't think I'm going to be making a move to switch it all. Hey, found a cool little eyeball camera that is being reviewed on Engadget. They look like the size of a golf ball that can be just like thrown in the yard somewhere and they're going to record. Real cool. I thought, man, these would be kind of cool to put over the place. But I looked at the price. They're $4,800. They're a Wi-Fi camera in about the size of a golf ball. Oh, yeah. $4,800? Not. But cool gadget to say the least. Okay, for those of you that are using Sling Media, or Sling, there you have come out, or are you, excuse me, for those of you that are using Sling Media's Sling Box, they've come out with a product called a Sling Link. And what this allows you to do is, I have all my PC stuff up here in the office, all my internet connections up here. I got a wireless, of course, going on, but they allow you to plug this adapter. It's one of those power LAN boxes where you plug one box into one power jack. You go to another part of your house and you plug another power jack in. You connect a LAN cable between them and you have network connectivity. Well, for those of you that have got a Sling Box, and what a Sling Box basically does is allow you to watch a TV on your PC no matter where you're at, so long as you've got a broadband connection. So check this out on Engadget. It's called the Sling Link, and it helps network up your Sling Box. Now, there are some, maybe you could find, it's $99, so you probably can find some cheaper solutions. I don't know how well this one really works. They didn't go into that too much. But there are some alternative options out there if you're looking for power, you know, those power wall LAN connectors, okay? All right, Creative has come out with their new Zen Vision M, and this thing looks pretty nice. And it's an MP3 player, video player, picture player. It's about the same size and shape as the new video iPod, and it has a little longer video playing time length. And what's cool about it, it'll do MPEG-4. That's important for a product I'm going to be talking about later in the week. But Creative Zen Vision M, put the link up in the show notes, obviously. Now, if you guys have comments on anything that we're talking about tonight, make sure you send me a comment to 619-342-7365. And make sure you visit the Geek News Central website at geeknewscentral.com. Okay, how many of you are doing comparison shopping via those comparison shopping websites? You know, a lot of times I go to those comparison websites and I'll find that they are usually tied to four or five different retailers, and sometimes they're just a front. Well, there's a pretty good article on it in Yahoo. It talks about how traffic to those sites are up for like shopping.com, bizrate.com, Shopzilla. So there are some good deals that you can find via these comparison shopping sites. You can save yourself a little money. As I've said before, when it comes to camera gear, be very, very careful out there, okay? Only buy from reputable companies. Make sure they're reputable. Check out and review their, you know, anything that you can find on the web on them before you buy a cutthroat digital cameras online, okay? That's one of the things that people are getting in trouble. And it's all components, really. How long has it been since those of you that are listening to the show have picked up the Yellow Pages? You know, I've got I'm looking here, I'm looking down, and in my office at the bottom of my cabinet, I've got a Yellow Pages that's there that was released this year, and it is quite literally under about 10 books, magazines. There's stuff stacked in and around. You know, it's at the bottom of the pile, so it hasn't been pulled up and got made to the top. And I don't think I've opened it once. Can Yellow Pages stay in business? That's the question on Business Week. How many of you use the internet exclusively to find companies? I think I do. I use the internet and it just goes proof that Yellow Pages hasn't been pulled out. So very good article on that. Just kind of a point for you here, kind of something to think about on how far we've come. Of course, people that live in remote areas that don't have good internet connectivity, or they're dealing with small towns where maybe businesses don't have internet access or have websites, I would see where the Yellow Pages would still, because not every company has a website, which they should, but every company doesn't. Now, we all like the rich and famous and see how they live, right? Well, there's an article on Forbes that is talked about quite intensively in its news.com. I'll put the links up for both of this. So did you guys realize that Bill Gates' house is a just unbelievable 66,000 square feet? The place I'm in right now is about maybe 2,000 if I'm lucky, if I count the garage. Can you imagine having, what would you do with 66,000 square feet? That is unbelievable. That's almost, yeah. And let me think this. He have kids? I don't think so. Well, anyway, Oracle CEO Larry Ellison is only 33,000 square feet. And Steve Jobs, he's only got a 17,000 square foot. So Bill Gates is a winner on this. But it's kind of funny to see what these billionaires spend all their millions on, because obviously they're not spending billions to build a house like that. But okay, found a cool Firefox extension. It's called How Did I Get Here? How many times have you surfed to a site and you've been clicking through four or five different sites and you ended up at a cool site? You forgot to add it to your bookmark and you closed the window and you're like, oh man, where was that site at? And you go to your history file, or matter of fact, it's months later and you know that there's a site out there that you were visiting. You think, how can I find this site again? Well, this is a pretty cool extension. Check it out, okay? How many of you have little kids and you're doing a lot of time sitting on the floor? Being my wife's Japanese, she has no problem sitting on the floor for long periods of time. But typically for me, I sit on the floor, in a nice, tight, upright position. And within about 15 minutes, my back and hips are burning and very, very stiff. I have to tell you about a funeral I attended in Japan where I about died. But from sitting on the floor for like a couple hours. But anyway, they've got this cool chair out that was reviewed in Boing Boing. I don't know how, there's not a lot of info here, but it looks like it could be a chair for those of you that spend a lot of time on the floor with your toddlers. This might be something you want to check out, make it a little more comfortable. Then again, it may just end up being something that the kid carries around the house. All right, believe it or not, the Motion Picture Association has come out with an advisory on how to tell pirated DVDs from real ones. So those of you that are out shopping this year, here is a clue. When you're out shopping and you go out on the street and someone's selling DVD boxes, they're probably pirated. If you go to the flea market and the label looks a little faded, they're probably pirated. So anyway, they have a site out that shows this. So I think we're all pretty smart. We can tell a pirated DVD from a real one. I know that they've gotten real good overseas, but you can tell when you go overseas, they're like, oh yeah, that's definitely pirated. You're looking at it. But anyway, they've got that advisory out for anyone that's interested. Okay. Okay. Of course, Robin Good has his selections of the week, and he goes through and talks about different stuff for Google AdSense and gives some information here. There's all kinds of these. This is kind of like a tip thing this week for those of you that are doing marketing and stuff online with your websites and talking about Google AdSense. So I haven't got a chance to review this, but it looks pretty cool. And so it's AdSense section, targeting how to make your Google ads relevant and profitable. All right. Go ahead and check that out over at Robin's site. Hey, here's the second portion of what Yahoo put together. They have this site called answers.yahoo.com. You ask an answer. You ask a question and you get a response. So the question I asked today, what was the best resource on the internet for a explanation on Linux folders and file permissions for groups and users? And I haven't checked my email, but I'll let you know what kind of response I got, because I was looking. I'm really not up to speed on. I need to really get smart on folder permissions and stuff in Linux. So I need a very, very detailed and good layman's terms explanation. But anyway, hey, that's all I've got for content tonight. 35 minutes. Can you believe that? But I have this interview that I'm going to play for the BBC. I do want to thank all of you for tuning in. And for those of you that don't want to stick around and kick out, you can. But I'm going to go ahead and cue this up, and I'll have some promos at the end and also our outro for the show now, and I'll give you a sample of that. As always, please send comments to geeknews@gmail.com. You can call on our voicemail hotline to 619-342-7365. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. I do have voicemails to talk about tonight, too, that I got some voicemails in. We'll play those at the end of the show. But I do want to play this interview for you. That'll probably take us up to 45, 50 minutes, a couple minutes for promos. We're right back up 52, 53 minutes. So if you don't hang out, aloha. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next Tuesday. If those of you that want to hang out, we're going to play the BBC interview. And then I'll be back with you for a few minutes.
You're listening to Drive on the BBC Asian Network. Okay, so I told you already, if you've just joined us, podcasting has been crowned the phenomenon of 2005. Not only that, the term podcast has been declared Word of the Year by the new Oxford American Dictionary. Well, it's day three of Digital Week here on the BBC, and perhaps the area of fastest change in our digital lives is personal audio. Not so long ago, we had clunky, chunky cassette player things. Now, with the advent of the iconic iPod and other MP3 players, things are getting lighter, smaller, and the scope for what we can actually use them for is becoming limitless. Todd Cochran is the author of Podcasting, the Do-It-Yourself Guide, one of the world's two podfathers, I believe, and he joins me on the line now from Hawaii. Todd, welcome to Drive.
Aloha, Nikki. Thank you for having me on.
Aloha to you, too. So you are a podfather, aren't you?
Well, I don't think I would necessarily claim that title. That obviously belongs to Adam Curry, and I think also Dave Weiner had a large part in it. But I am a podcaster.
You're a podcaster. You've written the book, Podcasting, the Do-It-Yourself Guide. For all our listeners out there who, I won't call them Luddites, because podcasting is a recently new phenomenon anyway, what is a podcast?
Well, podcast is simply audio content that is created largely by individuals that can include people that are your neighbors, coworkers. They're creating unique content on various subjects to include like business, politics, lifestyles, just to name a few. I think there are about 15,000 shows available today on various topics. And what's cool about a podcast is not only can you listen to the shows via the internet, but you also can get those shows downloaded automatically to a portable media device if you have one.
So basically, it's audio on demand in a sense, and there are more and more people making these podcasts in the world, aren't there?
Absolutely.
Now, you say in your book that actually you download too many podcasts to really listen to. Do you think that this is what happens in the beginning? Everybody wants to have a go, don't they?
They sure do. And I think I try to sample new shows every week. And then some of those shows that are really, you know, really grab my attention and they stay in my subscription list, and some don't and fall out. So it's you know, there is a weeding out process.
So what would you say, Todd, to people who want to start to experience podcasts? Would you say go to the iTunes podcasting list? Would you say download Adam Curry's recommendations? What would be your suggestion for a beginner, a podcast virgin, if you like?
Well, obviously, Adam's shows that he recommends are good, but also I recommend people that are looking for shows to go to some of the directories out there, like Podcast Alley at podcastalley.com, or go to Yahoo at podcast.yahoo.com and search the directory for subjects that they're interested in. I do want to say that the iTunes, it's built into iTunes currently, but the directory is in very bad shape. They haven't managed it well. So it is kind of hard to sort through and find things. So I do recommend the online directories as a starting point to find shows.
Okay, and also, is there any censorship for a podcast then? I mean, for example, I could just take my iPod by the way, I've got a really, really cool gadget, Todd. I've got Griffin iTalk, the little mic that goes in the top of your iPod.
Sure.
Do you think that's a good way? If I wanted to do my podcast, would that be really good quality to do it through that mic?
You could, but the quality will be very low because of the recording rate that the Griffin I mic records on.
Okay, so basically, anybody who's got a good mic can make a podcast, upload it to the internet for the rest of the world to listen to, whether it's your ramblings about, you know, the consistency of sweet corn or, you know, nappies.
You know, the thing I tell people is all you need really is a computer, a mic, and you can record a podcast. It doesn't have to be expensive, and even your little iMic will do fine. Podcasting is about the experience. It's not necessarily, you don't have to get hung up on the quality. Quality's good, but don't get hung up on it.
But what do you think podcasting is going to do for the digital world or for the world in general? Do you think it's connecting people?
The way I refer to it, it's the power of walkaway content. We can fill our brains on a daily basis with information we want to listen to. It's not what's being fed to us by the major media streams out there. It's, you know, it's your neighbor talking to you about subjects that you're interested in.
Now, of course, right now there are issues regarding music being part of podcasts, unless we're talking about an unsigned band or artist, because there are legal issues, aren't there?
There are legal issues, and so any music that is termed, of course, here in the United States is termed non-RIAA approved, or anything that is controlled by a label, you have to be very careful with. I recommend people visit the PodSafe Music Network. You can Google that, and you'll find music that's safe, that's independent, that you can play on podcasts. And to iterate a comment you made earlier, listeners beware, the commentary that you find on podcasts is definitely uncensored, so review it before you expose it to your children or to coworkers.
Yeah, but on the other hand, that's a fabulous example of free speech, isn't it? As long as you can protect children from it.
Absolutely. You can say anything you want on a podcast, and there is some dangers in that.
Yeah, well, I guess I wouldn't be working for the BBC if I did say what I wanted to say, would I? Now, a few questions from our listeners, Todd. On a text here. Do you know what a text is, by the way? You call it SMS.
Correct, but I know what a text is.
You do. Of course you do. You're digital. Just wanted to ask, can you download or record a clip from your TV onto your iPod? That's from Shabs in Halifax. Can you do that?
I would believe that would probably be a copyright violation. There is a certain amount of leeway that you're allowed to on fair use if you use a small enough clip. But when in doubt, get permission.
The next question is, are podcasts free?
Podcasts are 99.9% free. There are a few out there that are creating commercial podcasts for subscription.
And this is a really, I don't even know what this means. First, there's MP3 file sharing. When will there be a form of video file sharing? Oh, I see what that means now.
I think we're already starting to see, with the advent of the new iPod, that we're starting to see people creating video content for that device. I think this 2006 will probably be the year that video casting explodes. Obviously, the file sharing stuff has been available video-wise for a long time, but I think video casting is going to explode in 2006.
So this year it's podcasts that's the phenomenon. You reckon 2006 it'll be video casting?
I think the wave of podcasting will continue to grow, but I think video is going to be real close behind. But video is a much bigger, it's much harder to do video than it is to do audio.
I read about it in your book, actually. I can't remember. About pod walks. Do you know about pod walks?
No, I do not.
Oh, my God. I can tell the pod father something. There are certain countries in the world, certain cities in the world, where you can download a pod walk. So, basically, you've got an audio guide to the city, but not the normal, boring, touristy sort of routes. Basically, it'll say, now, you're standing on the corner of this street, look up to that window and see the brickwork and the mural and things like that. Quite a brilliant idea, don't you think? I think India's about to have a few. Paris has got one.
That's totally amazing. And I think at some point in the future, we're going to be walking around with our mobile phones, and we're going to get a message that's going to say, hey, there's a podcast in your, you know, on this area, you know, within this area. You want to download it and get information, so that it's going to be kind of like, you know, you're driving by something historical, and you can find out information automatically about it via your mobile device. I see that in the future.
So you'd have to have your Bluetooth on all the time, or some enabling facility, would you?
Correct, you would.
Wow. So what do you think, other than, so video casting, definitely, but in terms of not talking about iPods or MP3 players, What do you think is going to be the most important digital device in the next year?
The most important digital device in the next year, I believe the TV, I think what's really happening in the world is people want their media the way they want it. So I think you're going to see companies enabling consumers to be able to get just the content that they want, and it's going to be through the internet. TV on demand or ITV is going, I think, will become very popular in the next year.
See, the same friend who bought me Griffin iTalk, he's a real techie, bought me ITV. Unfortunately, I can't get a signal on my desktop. Any suggestions?
I do not. I don't have experience with ITV. I know my wife, she's from Japan, and she actually is able to get Japanese programming, but she pays for a commercial service here in Hawaii.
Okay. Now, that's interesting you talk about your wife. Final question from a listener here. Who's more up to date with gadgets, men or women?
I think men are, but I think the ladies are very, very close behind. We're seeing a huge trend in the ladies wanting their tech devices, stuff that's designed for them. I think in very short order, the playing field is going to be leveled, and manufacturers are going to be targeting women with advertising for products for them.
Did you read in Wired magazine, Todd, I think it was last month's Wired magazine, that somebody's invented a way that on your tombstone, should you want to be buried and have a tombstone, you can actually have a little screen that is protected from the weather, and people can come and visit your grave and see footage of you when you were alive, or JPEGs, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's an amazing idea. And, you know, and what I'm using podcasting for is to almost make a digital library for my children. So when they get older, and maybe it's a second or third generation since I've maybe passed, they can say, listen to your great-grandfather and see what he had to talk about. I think this media will allow us to connect with people in the future in ways we're not fully realizing yet.
Fantastic. Todd, thank you so much for joining me on Drive today. And don't forget, everybody, you can actually download a Film Cafe to your MP3 player as part of the BBC podcasting trials. That's the Bandawalas. bbc.co.uk/Asian Network. So, podcasting today, brilliant guest. And tomorrow, we're looking at radio.
All right, folks, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Did you notice how she kept calling me the Podfather? I don't know what the deal with that is. I tried to correct her, but apparently she had someone had briefed her up. I swear it wasn't me, but I'm sure someone will get a kick out of that. Hey, anyway, I do have a couple of quick show comments. Jim S., thanks. Hey, on your recording problem, oh, my friend, I don't know if you're going to be able to recover recording on that shift in sample rate. I've never experienced that before. I apologize for not getting back with you sooner. I have listened to your voicemail, and I will see if I can experiment tomorrow and see if I can figure something out for you. I would like to know what the sample rates changed to. Skype me or just drop me another email. I apologize again for not getting back. Also, a couple of you sent some comments on show sponsorship stuff. Thank you for your support. I really do appreciate those comments. It was refreshing to hear what you had to say on those. Also, I got one comment from a listener that was talking, a voicemail comment that was talking about the TiVo. So I want to play that for you. That'll take us probably out to almost the end, and I have a quick promo and we'll bounce out of here.
Hi, Todd. This is Mike Wills from The Riverbend, www.theriverbendpodcast.com, and from Mike's IT blog, mikewills.name. You talked last show about the podcasting support in TiVo. Well, I got it downloaded yesterday, the new software update, and I had about 10 minutes to play with it. And while I have mixed feelings about it, it's not going to revolutionize podcasting by any means. They have some what they call featured podcasts. They have the featured, and then they have a few selected other ones from other areas. The big, most notable ones are mostly produced ones. There is the Official Lost podcast. But then they also have, in case you can't hear, that's my daughter in the background. Then they also have some I guess what they're, at least we used to call the indie podcast, Dignation, /.review. I saw Coverville in there. That's about all I really saw from the, like, really big popular so-called indie podcasts. All the rest were highly produced from radio stations or TV stations or the like. So overall, not very impressed. You can manually add in feeds. However, you have to pick your letters one at a time, and it's a slow, agonizing process, and it's not going to make new people subscribe to your feeds. And how it works is you add in your RSS feed, you add in your RSS feed, then you can go and view it. You see all the shows, you click on a show, it automatically downloads and start playing. So it doesn't even really truly use the RSS feed to download it. It just uses that to say, here's the location of the file, download it as it's going and or as it starts playing, basically streaming it. So that's, you know, it's not to revolutionize podcasting by any means, but it is kind of a neat little feature to have. So I guess that's my opinion on it. I'm going to try and write something up on my blog, mikewills.name, and maybe you can link to it when you do the show here. I'll see you next time. Bye.
And his show is a show that we linked to on the last podcast. I apologize for not playing this, his comments before, but the link was up in the show notes. I'll add it up again. And here's a promo that I'll submit. We'll see how fast this loads.
PodSafe Music Daily, your daily dose of 100% PodSafe Music. Every Monday through Thursday, I choose 5 songs for each day, so you get to hear great music like...
You're taking the easy way. Forgive me if I'm not overjoyed. Some things will never change. I'm still that jealous boy. I want you to know. Side doors on my 57 Chevy. Bring me my guitar, brother. Oh, oh, yeah.
You, the listeners, get to vote for your favorite songs every day. Then, for Friday's show, I take the most voted songs throughout the week and play your top 10 favorites. So, if you want to discover some new music or need some help getting through that long work day, check out the PodSafe Music Daily podcast at podsafemusicdaily.podomatic.com.
All right, thanks so much for that promo. Hey, send your promos, geeknewspromo@gmail.com, geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Okay, I'm going to get us out of here. Thanks, folks, for listening. Hey, what the contest is going to be for show 127. Oh, yeah, you wondered why you were sticking around. Whoever gets very, very creative in sending me comments on the voicemail line, 619-342-7365. I want to hear your comments about the shows, commentary, tips, tricks, everything. You send me something really rocking that we're going to, and you'll get the $127 on Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what it's going to be. All right. I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to leave you with our new outro. Again, comments on the new intro outro to geeknews@gmail.com. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Aloha.
From Honolulu, Hawaii, this has been Geek News Central with Todd Cochran. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Subscribe to the Geek News Central podcast at geeknewscentral.com. Thanks for your support and thanks for listening. Aloha.
Aloha.